Interesting items 0807. Howdy y'all, a few interesting items for your information. Enjoy. In this issue. 1. Indictment. 2. Bulbs. 3. Lancet. 4. Crime Family. 5. Biolab. 6. Cargo. 7. Archery. 8. CNO. 1. Indictment. Special Prosecutor Jack Smith dropped his last 4 indictments on Donald Trump last week. These were in Washington, D.C. all on the Jan 6 festivities. Timing of the indictments was as usual, convenient, the day after Hunter Biden business associate gave devastating testimony about the Biden crime family to a House committee. This timing follows Smith's pattern with announcing indictments a day or so after some bad news about the Biden criminal enterprise. Trump drew the harshest Jan 6 judge on the D.C. circuit. Expect immediate motions for change of venue and, or recusal of the judge. Expect those motions to be denied, though they might be granted upon appeal. Basic question is, can a Republican get a fair trial in D.C.? If you take a look at the text of the indictments, everything aimed at Trump is mind-reading. Smith is attempting to make the case that Trump knew he lost the 2020 election and pushed the story that he had won regardless, thus committing any number of federal felonies as creatively defined by Smith. Good that Smith wasn't a federal prosecutor in 2000, 2004 or 2016 when Al Gore, John Kerry and Hillary Clinton all pushed similar election claims. Oh wait, he was a prosecutor working in the Obama, in Justice Department in 2016, summarily ignoring Hillary's claims. At their foundation, the indictments attempt to convict Trump on his actual state of his mind, what he thought, rather than what he said and acted upon consistently over the last 4 years. The indictments also are a direct attack on political speech, not a surprise from this group of Democrat lawyers. It appears that former Trump VP is fully engaged and in support of the prosecution as he has been cooperating with the prosecution team. Over the weekend, he claimed to have taken notes during meetings with Trump. I expect him to do his best E2 Mikey performance while testifying. Still, regardless of what he says, Pence, like his new BFF Jack Smith, are mind-reading. Good luck proving that, Jack. Smith has been itching for a gag order on Trump over evidence presented in court. He got his opening late last week when Trump tweeted he would be coming after everyone coming for him. On the face of it, it was a typical impolitic Trumpism, as those facing criminal prosecution are best advised to keep their pie hole well shut. Problem is that this is not a criminal prosecution. Rather, it is a political prosecution, one promised by Joe Biden himself a few years ago. As such, it was a perfectly acceptable and reasonable response. I expect the gag order to be approved and then appealed. I also expect Trump to ignore it, and Smith to demand Trump be jailed for violating it. Smith's push for a gag order is laughable, as he spent an inordinate amount of time blaming Trump for the Jan 6 festivities while not a single one of the charges brought were about the riot. Talk about mucking around with the jury pool. The other thing Smith wants is an expedited trial, mainly to keep Trump and the trial in the forefront for the entire 2024 campaign. The other reason is to spread Trump and his legal team spread as far and wide and thin as possible, simultaneously defending himself in Miami, D.C., NYC and Atlanta, which has indictments expected to drop momentarily. As to the substance of the indictments, both Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley have blasted the content and weakness of indictments. Turley called it an attack on the First Amendment, setting the government up as arbiter with the power to determine what is true and what isn't in the political world. A Smith win would overturn the First Amendment and all case law regarding political speech. Smith will attempt to prove his case by getting people in Trump's circle like Pence and Barr to tell the court they told Trump he lost as a vehicle to prove he knew he lost. While this ought to be enough for a DC jury to buy, somewhere along the line, it will be insufficient for a higher court to uphold. What do I think Trump is going to do? Based on his promise to go after anyone who comes after him, I think he is going to pull the whole system down on itself, putting the prosecutors, the judge and however many appellate court judges agree with them on trial as political hacks. He is going to force them to come down on him like a ton of bricks, doubling down every time he opens his mouth. The way math works is you don't have to double down too many times for a supposition that the system is rigged to become a certainty to anyone looking. And if they want to relitigate the 2020 election in federal court, so be it. I wonder if Algery, who still introduces himself as the duly elected president in 2000, will be subpoenaed as a hostile witness for the defense. 2. Bulbs. Last week's exercise in banning common household items was a Department of, no, energy ban on sale of most incandescent bulbs in the U.S. As usual, the ban was all in the interest of saving energy and saving consumers' money. Vehicle as usual was removing yet another consumer choice. After all, we are mere children out here in the hinterlands, sorely in need of being led to a better future by our political betters, /SARC. 3. Lancet. This one is a couple weeks old. It comes courtesy of Powerline's daily chart, the most dishonest climate chart ever. The Lancet, a formerly prestigious medical journal in Great Britain, published an article that attempted to estimate deaths due to heat and cold in European cities over the last 20 years. The Lancet disgraced itself multiple times in recent years over publishing fraudulent medical articles. The COVID years were particularly bad and led to re-examination of previous pieces. One of the things noted in a Stephen Hayward NIP article was that deaths from cold weather were around 10x that of heat deaths, something never mentioned by the media. Lancet presented its results in a chart sorted by country and color-coded by age group. Blue deaths were a bar on the left. Heat-related deaths were a bar on the right. The fraud committed took place at the bottom of the graph, on the labeling of the x-axis. The scale on the left, deaths due to cold were 5x as large as those due to heat. Excess death rate for 100,000 person years was presented with 50 deaths being as long as 10 excess deaths on the heat, right, side. This was intentionally done to downplay the number of cold-related deaths while vastly increasing those due to heat. The power line piece had the correct graph included. If the Greens were correct, they and their cheerleaders wouldn't have to lie every single time they open their mouths. 4. Crime family. As previously mentioned, Devin Archer, a Hunter Biden business associate, testified a week ago to the House Oversight Committee. His testimony produced evidence that President Biden and his family were operating a bribery scheme in which his son was paid by a foreign company in return for saving its brand from legal peril. Archer is awaiting a date in Club Fed, one that, in justice, tried to accelerate the weekend before the scheduled testimony in an attempt to keep him from going before Congress. This is not the first time they tried that little stunt, successfully indicting and arresting witnesses before scheduled testimony before Congress. House leadership quickly fended off that attempt. The Biden crime family is using an array of at least 20 shell companies and numerous banks to launder the money paid to Hunter and other family members into family members. Laundering has been so obvious that the banks are rightfully worried of being complicit to laundering and have filed over 170 suspicious activity reports with the feds from 6 banks over the last few years. We are at the point in the campaign where both leading candidates are running simply to stay out of jail. A writer in American Thinker believes otherwise. Apologies for not finding the link. The writer over the weekend believes that Democrats will string Biden along until Trump's nomination is assured. Then they will remove Biden from office and run against Trump, making the 2024 election all about Trump, which was a loser in 2020. Democrats are pretty good at politics and exceedingly ruthless at the political wars. I wouldn't put this past them. Their problem is going to be removing Kamala from the top of the ticket. It should take an incredible, large-caliber bribe to do so. 5. Biolab. One of the odder stories last week was discovery of an unlicensed biolab in Reedley, California, near Fresno. The lab was discovered in April. CDC inspection found over 800 chemicals, many of which couldn't be identified, at least 20 potentially infectious viral, bacterial and parasitic agents, hundreds of laboratory mice, and human tissue samples. The company is registered in NV but not in Cali. The company president is Wenxiquan Yao. Some of the electronic IDs of companies linked to the lab linked to China, but were so far unresponsive. Great, a CCP biolab in Cali. What else can go wrong? 6. Cargo. The more EVs are out there, the more interesting, as in the old Chinese curse, things we find out about them. Last week, we were reminded that they burn really well, and once lit, don't easily go out. Most recent demonstration was a burning cargo ship loaded with thousands of new cars off the coast of Holland. This one took place as the Fremantle Highway, carrying nearly 3,800 new vehicles, including nearly 500 EVs, from the port of Bremerhaven to Singapore started burning July 25. The crew were evacuated on July 26. It took about a week for the fire to go out. Dutch recovery and salvage companies are trying to figure out what to do next. 7. Archery. Latest example of the Obama, Biden anti-gunners mucking around in public education is their withholding of federal funds in support of hunting and archery classes. The funds come to public education via the 1965 Elementary and Secondary Education Act. The Bidenistas claim that this law was changed by the 2022 gun control package passed with Republican support in the Senate. That act prohibits any act to provide dangerous weapons or pay for training in the use of what they call dangerous weapons. Senators Cronin and Tillis are pushing back. I don't predict they will get very far doing so. Democrats in power continue to remind us of Aesop's fable of the frog and the scorpion, where the scorpion begs for a ride, stings the frog en route, killing it, and as they both are drowning, asks the frog, "What did you expect? This is what I am." This is what Democrats are, senators. You idiots. 8. CNO. The square-filling Biden administration overrode his SecDef's recommendation for the next Chief of Naval Operations, CNO. Austin recommended the current commander of the Pacific Fleet, your basic 50s-plus white man. The Biden CRT square fillers selected a woman. As I understand it, she is a qualified ship commander, and seems to know what she is doing. Odo, so did Mayor Pete, Katanji, and Kamala. There is at least one outlet that paints the guy who was passed over as someone who was creative in the use of naval power in the Pacific, something quickly useful against the CCP. But no matter, genitalia trumps competence in the Biden administration once again. If confirmed, the admiral will be the first female member of the JCS. And she may very well be the first admiral to lose a war in the Pacific. After all the rest of Biden's diversity hires have turned out so incredibly competent, haven't they? We wish her well and all the success in the world. Odo, we are hunkered down for things to go south in a hurry. More later. AG. Throughout history, poverty is the normal condition of man. Advances which permit this norm to be exceeded, here and there, now and then, are the work of an extremely small minority, frequently despised, often condemned, and almost always opposed by all right-thinking people. Whenever this tiny minority is kept from creating, or, as sometimes happens, is driven out of society, the people then slip back into abject poverty. This is known as bad luck. - Lazarus Long via Robert A. Heinlein, Time Enough for Love. 1974.